Well, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. You know, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the ancient Israelites journeyed to the Sinai desert through what? The Red Sea. They had to go through that. And their passage through that body of water is symbolic of something important in our lives, in the lives of God's people. Apostle Paul wrote this here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. So the special music, that was not aligned together. We didn't get this together today, didn't talk about it. But here it is. Our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the Israelites were metaphorically baptized on their exodus out of Egypt. And whereas the Israelites were liberated from physical slavery, those of us who are baptized here have been freed from spiritual slavery. Physical slavery, spiritual slavery. We have been freed from that. And that has caused a great change in our lives and the direction of our lives, what is meaningful to us. We heard about that in the sermonette, and we have to be willing to change. And again, as we heard in the sermonette, James' great sermonette, you know, we have to be willing to make those changes when we see them, especially inside of our lives. When we find ourselves doing something that isn't correct, we need to ask, as he said, ask God to correct us and change us. We have to be flexible. We have to be willing in all of those things. So we've been freed from the chains and the shackles through the forgiveness of sins. It was Jesus Christ who also led the Israelites out of physical bondage in Egypt. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ led them through that sea and into the desert. So having been rescued from spiritual slavery, we can be grateful. We can be extremely grateful for our Savior, for what he's done to continually help us strive against sin. We cannot do it. As I said the other night, we cannot do these things on our own. It's got to be through the Holy Spirit, and we have to stir up the Spirit, and we have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's got to be our friend, and we have to be with him and talk to him and express to him our feelings and do it continually, not just, well, I'll get to that, or I've got 30 minutes and that's the time I'm going to spend with. But we have to think about it all the time. We have to be there asking him to help us in every situation that we face. If you turn with me to Romans 6 verse 3, let's consider a key scripture that focuses in on our relationship with Jesus Christ, resulting from what he did on our behalf as he died in our place. And this passage not only explains what he did, but what he's doing right now and how we should respond to him. Romans 6, verse 3, it says, or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Fits very well with the sermonette again. We want to walk in newness of life. We want to put the past behind us and move forward. Walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his son, in death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. No longer. So it's because of what Christ did for us that we are able to walk with this fresh, new approach, in newness of life, no longer that old, useless way that didn't get us anything. It didn't get us anywhere. So on this wonderful holy day, let's examine the subject of slavery and, in particular, how it relates to sin. Sermon title today is simply Freed from Spiritual Slavery. Freed from Spiritual Slavery. But before we examine this topic spiritually, let's examine a little bit about what this holy day is about. You know, the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread tell us a tremendous amount about sin and its consequences. The Passover itself clearly portrays how Jesus Christ gave his life, dying in our place for us. And his death and shed blood covered all of our past offenses and transgressions, all of them, they're gone. As I said the other day, they're drowned in the depths of the sea. They're gone. So now Jesus Christ is by his Father's side, and he's ready to aid us at any time. Any time we ask, let's turn to Leviticus 23, verse 24. Leviticus 23, verse 24. In addition, the Feast of Unleavened Bread explains how sin has leavened the world. In this passage, we are given key instructions about how to observe this feast. Leviticus 23, verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. We're doing all these things, right? We're there. We're here. You shall do no customary work on it. Verse 8, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. So that's this week. And we not only get rid of the leaven, but we take unleavened bread into our bodies. And we think about sin this week. We think about how we need to change. We need to turn from our old ways because, you know, they're still there. They're still hanging on. James mentioned that. We can't just get rid of it all because we're human. So we eat a little bit of unleavened bread every day, which reminds us that we have to continue to be sinless. It's a job that doesn't end. It's a lifetime process here. So again, let's first examine, I'd like to examine a little bit about human slavery to get a little depth before we dwell into the spiritual side of things. The institution of slavery has been around for a long time. The institution is literally as old as civilization, you might say. Why were people enslaved? Well, in ancient civilizations, slaves were often war captains, and yet people found other reasons to justify slavery. Slaves were usually considered different, or, of course, inferior, because they belong to another race or religion or nationality or ethnic background. Despite efforts by many individuals and nations over the years to end slavery, it still exists today. Just look at the border crisis that we have in our country today. I wrote an article that was in the January-February issue of Beyond Today, and I stated this in there, quote, slavery was outlawed many years ago. But was it? While this despicable practice was certainly banned by most governments, slaveholders today persist in this dreadful criminal activity. Described today as human trafficking, it involves the recruitment, harboring, or transporting of people into the condition of crushing control, abuse, exploitation. Contemporary slavery affects millions of people who are forced to work against their will, under the threat of intimidation, harassment, fear, violence, and even death. Today's practice of heartless human bondage is a market-driven criminal transnational enterprise fueled by demand for cheap labor and commercial sex, which generates over $150 billion profit annually. It's a low-risk scheme for the slave masters due to the minimal public concern, ineffective laws, and social blame directed towards the trafficked victims themselves. So there's just a little bit of background there. Regarding these and other aspects of human trafficking, I quoted Kevin Bales. He was a foremost authority on contemporary slavery at the Wilberforce Institute for Study of Slavery and Emancipation. This was in the United Kingdom. In the first of his 13 books, the subject title of that book was Disposable People, New Slavery in the Global Economy. He stated this, and I quote, "Slavery is a booming business, and the number of slaves is increasing. People get rich by using slaves. And when they're finished with those slaves, they just throw these people away. This is the new slavery, which focuses on big profits and cheap lives. It's not about owning people in the traditional sense of the old slavery, but about controlling them completely. People become completely disposable tools to make money." So that's happening today. You know, the single dominant characteristic of slavery is about physical bondage, but also mental suffering. And we know all suffering, including slavery, comes from the bondage to sin. But who ultimately is responsible for all these forms of slavery, both physical and spiritual, mental, all these things? It is none other than the devil, Satan the devil. And we were talking at home today just about that, my brother and sister-in-law's house, about that, that people that don't even know they're being influenced by the devil in so many ways. A lot of them don't even believe it today. But the devil is very brutal and vindictive. How does he keep his slaves in this group, this grip of bondage? These people often must pay their trafficker large amounts of money up front to be transported to another country. Or if people have little or no money, the trafficker forces them to work at various jobs such as agriculture or construction and prostitution until their debt is paid off. And in most cases, they never pay it off. Another form of slavery is substance abuse. We hear about that today. Alcohol and drugs can develop a cruel and despotic habit. And it's very difficult to break those habits once people get involved in it. Another means of physical slavery is that we see illicit sex. We see pornography, which has grown in leaps and bounds in our country. I don't know if you knew this, but the United States is the foremost purveyor of pornography in the entire world. We do more pornography videos and pictures than any place else, and that has spread throughout the world. Who's behind all this? The devil, of course. So the slaves don't have to be afflicted with these physical issues to be in bondage. There are mental addictions, there are wrong desires, there are immoral passions that can rule carnal minds. There's a lust for power and authority and money and vanity and prestige, all these things That's the devil pushing all of this type of thing. So when we consider these and other dangers in society, what should we as members of God's church be doing? What are we to be doing as we see all these countless victims out there? It requires strong resistance. It requires our prayers that Christ will return. And that is the only ultimate answer. We have to pray through the power of God's Spirit, as I mentioned, for ourselves to be kept from these evils. Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. We're all human, and we're not invulnerable. So we have to maintain that relationship with our Father, Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, verse 24. How does a person become enslaved in such a way? Well, Jesus Christ clearly stated to the religious leaders of his day that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And also we learn in 1 John 3, verse 4, that sin is defined by the breaking of God's laws. But here in Matthew 24, 6, verse 24, we read, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have your feet into the world of God and the world of man. We have to live in the world, but we can't be of the world. That's the whole point. So this passage speaks about loving God or loving money. It's basically the principle that it's either loving the truth and righteousness or being enslaved to sin. That's the choice we have before us. John chapter 8, verse 44, if you turn there, it's all about choosing wisely with the help of God between right and wrong, that it can be made plain to us. There can be no middle ground. It's either that one way or the other. God will not accept anything other than that. You know, in speaking to the hypocritical religious authorities of his days, Jesus boldly told them here in John chapter 6, 8, verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So they're talking to these religious authorities, but he's talking to humanity in so many ways. Is that not true? If people follow the devil, they don't even know it. But you and I know, and we need to respond to God firmly because he has the most awesome future for us. But we can let it go if we're not careful. How many people have done that over the years? They're not among us anymore. Don't let it happen. We can't let that happen to ourselves. So we see human society in that trap today. So the question for us is, what choices are we making? What are the choices that we're involved in? We have many choices, don't we? We can choose to do this or choose that. Are we truly moving fully out of slavery to sin into the true freedom that God offers to us, that he desires for us? He wants us to be freed, but we have to work with him. You know, we have to be in that close contact with him. As I said, pray without ceasing, have that relationship with him. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Let's again recall the words of Jesus that we read earlier in John 8, verse 34, where he said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. While we as brethren don't want to sin, you know, we don't want to sin. We can stumble, though. We can stumble. We can allow wrong ways, wrong habits, wrong attitudes come into our mind, and they can be alluring because, oh boy, this is, you know, that person did this to me, and, you know, it feels good to be angry and upset with that person. What are we supposed to do? Forgive me, Father, as I forgive others. You know, that's the point here. So these attitudes are there, and they can well up, and we can be influenced by the devil and the world. So we've got to be on guard. We've got to be on guard. We cannot let down. We can't let that happen, because sadly, it is possible for us to fail. 2 Peter 2, verse 20 tells us right here. For if after they, Peter's speaking to about church members here, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. That's talking about you and me. We could be vulnerable. We don't want that to happen. There is a way forward. So those who have repented, have been baptized, have to, you know, they made those careful choices. They've rejected sinful ways. But it has to be done day by day, minute by minute, incident by incident. Who knows what will happen tomorrow, what we're going to run into that's going to test us. So scriptures tell us that some people that Satan uses are his agents in this foul business of what we see in the world, and that can be done through religion as well. False teachers, false prophets are out there by the thousands today. Let's back up a couple of verses here to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. It's talking about these false teachers. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, sound good, swelling words, but they're empty spiritually. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They escaped, and now they're going back into it again. Well, they promise them liberty. They themselves, these false teachers, are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So Satan's minions offer freedom from God. You know, people today, oh, well, I don't need God, do I? You know, I got everything. You know, we got science, we got technology, it's all cool. Freedom from God, freedom from commitment, freedom from responsibility, freedom from those religious ideas and keeping commandments and things. We don't need that. So these people out there, whoever they may be, can't promise freedom from what? Suffering. They can't promise freedom from the consequences of sinful conduct, which is bondage with Satan as the slave master. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, if you would. You know, the Bible is very clear throughout its pages that Satan rules in this age of man. This is not God's world right now. It's not his age. Satan is there. You know, and he knows his time is short, and he's stirring up more trouble. You see it around the world today. You see it. I want to read to you three scriptures before we read this passage here about Satan. Revelation 12, verse 9 says, you don't need to turn here, tells it that Satan deceives the entire world. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says that he is a spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. And 2 Corinthians, oh, that's all. Okay, we'll go here to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Now, this refers to those, as it says here, whose minds The God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Now we have that glory. We have that light of the gospel. Could we be drawn back into that? It's danger. There's danger out there. We have to be diligent every moment because sin fills this world. There's so many evils out there, little and big ones. And human beings can't see their way out of Satan's prison. They can't find the keys that could unlock the chain, their chains and shackles. But you and I have been freed. Christ has unlocked, has opened the prison door for us. We've been able to escape. How much do we appreciate this? Every moment, every day. We can't take these things lightly. So God reveals the way to freedom. Indeed, he has freed you and me, from this spiritual slavery. And he's ultimately going to do it for the entire world, but it hasn't happened yet. We're in the vanguard, you and I. All of us here today, we have to continue to put pedal to the metal, doing God's will and his work. We were, remember, once sons of disobedience. That's from Ephesians 2, verse 2. And through Christ's sacrifice and through the faith and baptism, our sins are now forgiven and forgotten. Having been freed from spiritual bondage is so incredible and so wonderful and true. But we have to appreciate it like never before. Times are going to get even more difficult, as we know. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4, a few chapters ahead here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he, Jesus Christ, lives by the power of God. For we are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves. We did that before the holy days. It's not something I'm done. The holy days are over. I don't have to do that anymore. No, we have to do it all the time. It should be a daily thing that we continue to examine ourselves as to see where we are. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? So again, the big question is, how can we function effectively while being surrounded by this sinful world? What's all, so much stress out there. You talk to people and there's so many distractions. I've got this to do and that to do. And I've got this bill to pay and I don't have the money for it. All these things, it's building and building. So there's so many distractions, so many troubles, so many deceitful things that are taking place. You don't know who to trust anymore. It's all about staying close to God. I keep going back to that. Staying close to God, staying close to the truth, not wavering an inch from it, keeping our eyes in the Bible, making yourself sit down and study. Take notes. Remember these things. And ask God to help you. Help me. All of us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. I'll just read this from the New Living Translation. Don't need to turn there. It says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. So that's our commission, isn't it? Tell the truth. Be honest, even in the smallest things. Who's watching us? Our Father in heaven. Will he let someone into his kingdom who's, just shading the truth or wanting to get by on something? I don't think so. God cannot have another satanic rebellion, so he can't even have an inch of that. So that's where we come in. That's where the Holy Spirit has to be empowering us every day, every moment. And we ought to pray for more of the Holy Spirit. That should be a part of our, if you have a prayer list, put it on there. Ask God for more of His Spirit. Ask Him to help you stir up the Spirit and have the fruit of God's Spirit. And we pour that fruit out to others, to our family members, and all people we meet. Because love, God loves everybody. Maybe there's a lot of bad people out there, but He loves them. Jesus Christ died for them, just as He did for us. Romans 6, verse 14, if you go there. Romans 6, verse 14. So we have a new life. A brand new life. We can, in effect, walk with a spring in our step. You know, the old saying, a spring in your step. And we can do that because we are freed from this spiritual slavery. And by following the example of Jesus Christ and maintaining contact with Him, we can resist sin. We can do it right in a sinful world that's getting worse. Romans 6, verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" Paul says, "Certainly not." Verse 16, "Do you not know that you who present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey?" We don't want to be held under that slave master any longer, do we? "Whether to sin or death or of obedience to righteousness, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, the depth of your heart, not just something on the surface, but you believe it, you follow it, it motivates you. Every moment, every day, in every situation, freed, obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." That's you. That's me. We're striving to do that. That has to be what we do continually when we go out into the world, you know, when we have that Red Sea moment. It's going to test us. You know, we're waiting there. Got this trial. Is the Red Sea going to open? Do we have that kind of faith that God will do that for us? Titus 3, verse 3. "Because of our profound willingness to follow Christ, we are servants of righteousness to our great God. And He offers us tremendous benefits as a result." And the contrast between living in godly righteousness and slavery to sin is so stark. It's noted in this passage here, Titus 3, verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." Jesus Christ did that. And we're, like I said, we're in the vanguard. He hasn't called everybody yet. We're a very tiny group. It's always been that way, the true church of God, a tiny flock, you might say. But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Doesn't that show how much He loves us, how much He cares for us? Abundantly He's poured out that upon us. Are we using that to glorify God? everything that we do, everything we think and say. Romans 8, verse 12. You turn there. Romans 8, verse 12. So as we just read, being a servant of God provides abundant goodness in this life and also brings the promise of complete and utter joy and peace and eternal life in the coming kingdom of God. And you know, I love even just thinking about that idea of being in God's kingdom, rising with Christ, rising to meet Christ in the air, coming back to him on the earth. But I mean, to be able to have that kind of a relationship with him, where you see him in his glory and we'll be part of the God family, and we're going to be able to help all those billions of people from that point on. You have to think those big thoughts and not let Satan make them become useless in our minds and hearts. It says here, Romans 8, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That's what people in the world do. It's all about, well, this new thing I got, a new boat or my house, or not that those things are wrong, but that should not be the dominant thing that we think of. It should be these spiritual things. We have to take care of those things, the physical things, and we have physical people that we have to care for in this world. And God expects us to do that. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know, and we are living right now. We have the Spirit of God in our hearts and minds. We have to stir it up continually. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the daughters of God. Isaiah 61, verse 4, or verse 1, if you would, turn there. Isaiah 61, verse 4. So God's way of life leads us away from the spirit of bondage, away from fear, away from anxiety and apprehension. We don't have to be worried about these things. The world's going to go out and do its thing. We don't have to worry because we have God with us. He's there for us. Away from fear, away from anxiety and apprehension about today, tomorrow, and the future. Perhaps we could say that God has, so to speak, again, I used this image before, sprung the jail cell open for us, you know, the mental and emotional jail cell that we have now, this fresh new way, stupendous liberty, unlike the world has ever seen. He's provided true emancipation for us from this slavery to sin. Isaiah wrote this. He said in Isaiah 61, verse 1, he said here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So we can have a part in doing that today. And look at this, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Wow, you know, think about how great these things are, these thoughts, these scriptures that just jump out at us, that we are so loved by God and we have so many opportunities to serve people in this way, even in this life today and then amazing times in the future. So we have to just keep that going and not let anything distract us from that. All the worries and troubles of this world, they're going to be gone away. Let's focus in on helping others. That's what we should be doing. Helping our families, really loving our families and the people all around us, our neighbors, church members, everyone. Galatians 5, verse 1, if you turn there. Galatians 5, verse 1. So, yes, we've been called to spiritual liberty. Jesus Christ has freed us from this prison of sickness, of sin and death. But we, again, as I said, we can't take this for granted because it's fragile. It takes constant prayer and effort and energy to maintain it. Again, through regular prayer, these are things we talk about a lot, very often: Bible study, church attendance, serving other people, supporting the spreading of the gospel. You know, that's another thing. We can be praying about that, that God will bless those he is, and protect those he is calling. Because, you know, you look at the the parable of the of the sower and the seed. There's one section in there that talks about how after one begins to learn the truth, what happens? Satan is there to snatch away what was sown in their hearts. Can we pray about those people? Sure we can. Can we pray about those who have left the church, who are wandering out in the world, that they would come back and join us? See, we can pray about these things too, and we should. So it's not just for us and our families, but in a church, but the world. I mean, we should back up the the preaching of the gospel so that more and more people can be made knowledgeable about these things. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Why did he say that? Because it can happen. We are vulnerable. All of us are. Verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Deuteronomy 5, verse 28, if you go there. Deuteronomy 5, verse 28. So our spiritual deliverance certainly doesn't mean freedom from God's laws, obviously, as is taught by many traditional Christians' religions today. On the contrary, God wants all people to experience genuine peace and joy, which can only come by carefully observing God's laws. And again, he has fashioned those all for our benefit. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29 says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me always and keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Furthermore, we read in 1 John 5, verse 3, I'll just read it, says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." So that's a reminder. You know, we know that, but these holy days are to remind us of these things so we can make sure that we're on board completely. Psalm 19, verse 7, if you turn there, Psalm 19, verse 7. The scriptures explain that God's laws are absolutely flawless. They protect us. They make us wise. They give us true happiness. They give us grace and tranquility of mind and heart by obeying the laws. Look at these amazing words here in Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You want to be wise? Keep the commandments. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Look at all the benefits that we have by being obedient to God, having that relationship with him. So the laws of God provide outlines for us. They provide guardrails so we don't careen off the road of righteousness, which leads to our ultimate destination, the kingdom of God. We don't want that to happen. We want to stay on that road. So through his Holy Spirit, his scriptures, God has revealed to us his plan, and here we are keeping that part of the plan of God right now. And he's shown us how we can be a part of it and what we can do. He gives us procedures for developing joyful marriages, raising happy children, and developing good relationships with others. God also gives us a clear vision of the coming wonderful world tomorrow and why it will be so peaceful and so prosperous. And he's showing us that we're going to have a role in that in the future. Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. While we have these incredible blessings, we also see around us a world whereby people are destroying themselves by their disobedience to God's laws, which makes them slaves to sin. But there is awesome hope for the future. Through repentance and baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, these people, the people that are good, that God is calling right now, can be redeemed from those situations, those failures. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We describe some of those. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." So we've had that. We have that opportunity. We want to spread that out. We want to share that good news with other people, don't we? Those God is calling. Let's go to Exodus 14, verse 15. So again, what are we to be doing as God's people? Exodus 14, verse 15. You know, when he was leading the Israelites out of Egypt and they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, preparing to cross it on dry ground, he told Moses something that applied to them, but also applies to us today. He says here in his Exodus 14, verse 15, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, go forward. Go forward.'" Philippians 3, verse 12. If you turn there, Philippians 3, verse 12. So we must continue to go forward. We can't go backward. We have to be confident every day through faith and obedience, despite the obstacles, despite the Red Sea obstacle we might see ahead of us. It seems so incredibly, we can't get over it. We can get over it, and God will find a way for us. Paul explains how we can do this. He says in Philippians 3, verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold that which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." He's not all there ready. He hasn't grabbed it yet. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Well, that's what Paul said, and that's what we should say as well and think. Having been freed from spiritual slavery, we can press forward on our journey to the kingdom of God. Since our new liberty accomplishes the following: it completely frees us from sin. The liberty from God aids us in living each day with marvelous purpose and meaning. Unlike the world, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. But you and I do, because we know God and he's given us his Spirit. It helps us make God our companion in all of our decisions and actions. The freedom God has given us helps us grow in faith and love while knowing that we will always have his protection. We'll have his intervention and strength on our side. God's true freedom aids us in being spiritually bold and strong and courageous while remaining calm under pressure. We can do that too. We don't have to worry or be full of anxiety. We can be strong and under pressure. And when you're faith, when you're peaceful, others around you will be peaceful as well. So God's true liberty helps us diligently prepare for the time when we will enter his kingdom and serve with Jesus Christ in bringing truth and righteousness to the entire world at his second coming. Romans 8, verse 1. If you go there, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Finally, we are marvelously blessed, as I've mentioned, to know what the truth that we have and being freed from sin, to live abundantly right now while preparing to enter the kingdom of God later. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 8, verse 1. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And Paul stated in Philippians 1, verse 6, he said this, I'll just read it. "Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So we know that human society is blinded to the truth that we know. But it's this wonderful Feast of Unleavened Bread, as it teaches us, we can rejoice in the fact that God has set us free so we can be true servants of God and true servants of our fellow man. And it won't be long. It won't be long before the entire world will be given this same opportunity that you and I have been given to know what we know and have the opportunity to finally know God and follow his ways. That day is coming. So let's not let go. Let's do our part all the way. But until that time comes, let's be very grateful to our great Creator who has chosen us out of all the billions of people on this earth to be in the forefront of his plan, that he has set us free from spiritual slavery.